Hello, and welcome to the Watson Weekend. We're your hosts. I'm Rick Watson.
And I'm Jessica Lasseski. It's Friday. We're back again.
It's Friday. Another time to beat Jess in fantasy football.
Oh, no, my friend, no. I am coming back with a vengeance. I've had a lot of time to reflect. No AI needed here for really? My drafting. Yeah.
Going autograph with this. All the way, baby.
I'm going with head and heart, you know?
Head and heart. I love it. We are your weekly hit of retail, technology, and e-commerce news. And by the way, if Target's pivoting again, it must be Friday.
Pivot.
Boys in trouble.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we're going to just decode the chaos of modern U.S. retail, right, Rick? So you don't
have
to.
That's what we do. And we are not pros at this at all.
No, but we do have ring lights, which I'm not using today. Bad printers. Can't print. Again, the one job is to print. Can't print. Yeah,
you have one job.
You have one job and you're failing. And now you're going to be trashed. So ambition, practice makes perfect.
If anyone in the audience has a printer, Jess.
I'm taking recommendations.
We can't afford. Miracle doesn't pay us enough to afford a printer, apparently. And so there's the.
The supplies office is failing at the Watson Weekend. Okay. So I've got printer problems. I got 99 problems and a printer is one. So
it is one.
Yeah. So, but you mentioned Miracle. They are fine folks. Tell us about our sponsor, Rick.
Yeah. We're happy to have Miracle supporting the show because traditional e-commerce is just code for not growing. It's time to do better than the status quo. Join over 450 retailers. They're scaling 6 times faster with an AI automation and a platform built for what's next. Marketplace, dropship, and retail media at enterprise-grade scale, all in one place. Thanks for supporting the show, and check out the fine folks at Miracle.
That's right. And, you know, we have been doing a new thing, a new little dance, Rick and I, with the Headline Hangover, having a little fun, courtesy of our producer, Vinny. Each week now, we're going to block out some of the headlines. We get to guess, and then we'll get into the story. So we'd love your audience participation. If you guys have a guess and you want to help, Rick certainly needs it. I don't. But here we go.
Yeah. If you're following along on our audio podcast, we have not seen these headlines in advance of guessing.
That's right. So we're going to go over to this week's Headline Hangover. It is sponsored by Crystal. Feels like faxing in 2025. If you're doing that, and if you know what a fax is, hats off to you, because there's probably a whole generation that doesn't. But it is time for Crystal. It is the smarter way to EDI. Find out more at crstl.ai and thank them for bringing our Headline Hangover to you. Yeah, so do I have the first story today? Yes, I do. So Rick, for Gen Z, online starts the shopping journey. What finishes it, according to a survey?
Stores.
Oh, that was a real layup. So, yes,
Thank you, Vinny. Thank you, Vinny. I paid off Vinny before the show.
Yeah, I mean, are you like doing some under the table stuff here? Because that was a real layup. So, yes. It in Gen Z shops online and in other groundbreaking news. Guess where else they shop, Rick?
TikTok.
They shop in the stores. According to a fresh YouGov survey from Retail Brew, it's just telling us all the things that we need to know that help us sleep at night, that look good on PowerPoint slides. Gen Z starts shopping online. They often finish it in stores. Got a couple of stats for you. It's 69% that begin their shopping journey. 53% are still browsing in store. So they are throwing on their boots. They're walking around stores and checking things out. Half are discovering new products from friends and family. 46% discover in stores. Probably kind of the big, bold here is 64% are using social media as a research tool compared to 44% of older adults. And the plot twist is 31% of Gen Z prefer email for customer service. Who knew?
You know, really?
They're like an email. Yeah. Not chatting, not phoning. So is it shocking? No. People scroll TikTok. They like touching stuff. They buy it. But the good news is, in a boardroom setting, or if you're getting challenged by your CFO, that's like, do we really need a TikTok strategy and clean stores? The answer is yes.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised somewhat, because Shein has Gen Z on lockdown. They don't have stores really. I think they've had some pop-ups, but we had George Chow on the program a couple weeks back. Check it out if you haven't seen it, but they're doing well in Gen Z with no stores.
Yeah, they are. But you know, I go to my like outdoor kind of like, you know, it's your work, live, play type multi-use experience. And there's lots of Gen Zs hitting up the Kendra Scotts. They're hitting up.
I was about to say, you're like, are you a Gen Z, Jess? Is that what you were going to leading into there?
I mean, these wrinkles don't lie, Rick.
We need to move on to the next story, folks. All right, Jess. Blank could make $1 billion. This is just as easy as the last one. Blank could make $1 billion this year.
Blank could make $1 billion this year.
It's a product.
It's a product? Mm-hmm. Could make $1 billion? Mm-hmm. Oh. I don't know. Like fantasy football?
It's Kaplan's favorite, the Boo Boos.
LaBooBoo? Come on.
Yeah.
No way.
If you haven't seen this, it's the plush monster toy from Pop Mart. It's a Chinese company. Duh, of course. They're eclipsing sales of Barbie, Hot Wheels, 700% year-over-year gains, just because Paris Hilton, Blackpink member Lisa, Cher, Kim Kardashian.
Oh, if the Kardashians have touched it, it's gold.
And it's, do you see them? First of all, do you have one?
I don't have one. I don't have girls. My boys have aged out of, I think, something that would be like that. So I'm not saying it's just for girls, but my boys don't really, I have a 15 and 10 year old. So I'm out of the loop here. Do you have one?
I'm a little bit out of the loop. I do not have them. Kaplan does. He was able to score once. Don't know how. He has all the methods.
Is he selling it on the black market, or?
He should be if he's not. Okay. Knowing Kaplan, he has like a side hustle going on.
Yeah.
My daughter's too young, so we're not in the LaBooBoo phase. Yeah. Generic stuff he will do.
Okay. All right. That's good. Good to know. So is this like the next Beanie Baby thing?
It's bigger.
Bigger. All right.
Bigger. Bigger than Barbie, Jess.
Bigger than Barbie. Wow. It's a bold statement. All right. So I got a big goose egg there. All right. Here's the next one for you.
Oof.
Can Target's CEO do what?
And Target's new CEO. Turn it around, bright eyes.
No. You don't get any points for that. Hit the bullseye. Is what we were looking for here. You got to have the play on words. So, yes. You know, yes, Target
so clever.
So clever. Target did get a new CEO. I'm going to take that seat February 1st, 2026. His name is Michael Fildalkey. He has had quite the career. He started out as an intern, moved to CFO, moved to COO, moved to CEO with some other roles. Kind of there. So didn't go from intern to CFO, but, you know, could have. You know, some of his key accomplishments, because I was just curious, like, what's on his resume? He scaled Target stores, helped develop the global supply chain, digital operations, led fulfillment services like same day through Shipt. He launched the Enterprise Acceleration Office that delivered over $2 billion in efficiencies. Which we all know.
I want to see the receipts for that.
People love the big E, right? Efficiency with an E.
Is this like Target Doge?
Target Doge, yes. Deployed more discounts, added 10,000 low price items. He's championed investments in AI automation, supply chain tech. But, you know, people don't really, they're not loving this pick, Rick.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen the stock plummeted 6 to 8%. That compounds to the fact that they are down roughly 28% year to date. Walmart, there are their friends on the other side of the aisle,
crushing it,
growing 8 to 9%. And yeah. So
Walmart e-commerce business is up 26% year to year. They're crushing it right now.
Yeah, yeah, they sure are. Many analysts called this pick somewhat underwhelming and safe, which I think is
they replaced probably an old guy with another old guy.
Right,
Next year to add urgency to it.
That's right. That's right. So my question for you, Rick, is this going to be the calm genius who steadies the bullseye or a safe fallback?
The whisper campaign is that he could be the guy to help take Target private. We will see what the story is there. I don't know if, you know, I wasn't overwhelmed. I wasn't underwhelmed. I was just...
Were you whelmed?
I was just whelmed with the choice.
We're whelming over here.
Yes.
Well, that's good news because I think people are, it's a wait and see. Look, you got to give him a shot. He's clearly, you know, got experience. Yes, he's risen within the ranks of Target. And I think people were kind of hoping for some like fireworks outsider that would come and do a bit of a shakeup. So people are kind of waiting to see more of the same. You did an excellent post this week talking about their earnings. They've got to bring merchandising back for sure. We've got a marketing miss there.
No CMO still.
No CMO still. So, you know, I think that the feedback really is, look, we've got to re-anchor Target around merchandising authority. Hello, Target. Like, let's get that je ne sais quoi, right? Consistency and experience. I know, I'm throwing out the big words today.
I love it.
I got my sleep. Consistency and experience. You know, let's less sticky floors, less sad clearance racks.
Sticky floor?
That would be great. And then tech-driven agility, because we can't be living in a world where you aren't saying agentic. Many times.
It has to be agentic and fast. And Enterprise Acceleration Office, I'm sorry, that's BS.
Oh, Rick, come on. That's going to be your next thing. You're going to like whip up some new programs and like implement them.
That's like some stupid ass consultant came up with that one.
EAO, I love it. It like rolls off the tongue.
I love it.
All right. Bring us home.
In our next story, I'm so excited about this one. Gap dances with blank. For denim focused fall campaign.
Oh, dances. Well, it's not with wolves because people wouldn't really get that. Cat's eye.
Yes.
I have seen this ad.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
This ad's popping.
Yes. This is kind of actually very different, though, than the...
Good job, Jess, first of all.
Thanks. We got to bring the boys to the yard sometimes. but yes, so I have seen this ad. I have... it was an interesting choice and, like, pivot from the, like, previous one that had, like... I forget who was the actress that was in it, but it was, like, very focused on the trench coat and the sweater. And like,
yeah,
right. It's like a very
boring,
hard pivot. Yeah. But how are you feeling about it?
I feel like we're in a strip club in this commercial. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Yes, I think so. We're going to call this still on the journey to find their voice, right?
It will get attention. I like the idea. They need something out there to sort of recapture some little bit of youthfulness.
Yeah, we need to be part of the conversation, right? I mean, you can get a white tee and jeans anywhere.
I'm not feeling it from you. You're like, you're whelmed here.
I'm a little whelmed, I think. Look, Gap is in a tough spot, right? Mm. It used to be the cool place to go and when I was, you know, trolling them all. And you wanted the Gap logo. And now again... If you know what Gap has traditionally stood for, which were like solid basics, meaning, you know, decent quality, but affordable. I think there's just lots of places to get that. And so I don't know about the differentiation. I think Madewell has really eclipsed Target in that space. And taken probably some of that share, as have many others. Look, like, retail's hard, apparel is hard. Just full stop.
Yeah.
That's my story.
That's good. I'm just happy you got it. I mean, I feel like you're on the struggle bus a little bit, and looks like they gave you an extra point.
Yes, because like where you went under the table with Vinny, I went under the table with Libby, who's driving our helm here, and that's really where you just got to make better plays.
I do. I need to make a better friends. So, thank you everyone for the headline hangover, and thanks Crystal CRSTL.AI for sponsoring it. We have a great interview that we're going to play. For those that didn't know, Nate Skiver and I, who's a parcel consultant, we traveled to Austin for an Octane Innovation Delivered event in hot Austin. It was like 100 freaking degrees there. Mm-hmm. But we were inside eating hot things inside.
Mm.
And those hot things are wings. Octane had the brilliant, stupid decision for us to eat wings that were so hot that we couldn't finish answering questions.
Did your face melt off?
Our face did not melt off. I was not Maya Rudolph or Conan O'Brien, although I almost wish we could probably just play that episode.
It's a classic.
It's so good.
Did you pour the milk in the beer?
Yeah, into the beer and just drink the beer. We didn't have any beer. We had milk. We had milk and water. I stuck with the milk.
Okay.
I didn't mix the milk with the water or anything else. But by the last 10 minutes of this interview, we were on the struggle bus. So Nate Skiver is a founder of parcel consulting firm LPF. He's had 23 years combined retail and consulting experience. He is definitely an influencer and person to follow on LinkedIn. If you didn't follow Nate, if you're listening live or later, definitely follow us in the comments during the interview. I'll be there. Nate will be there to chat about the state of parcel, what shipping promos work. We geek out on supply chain, which, as you know, is my love language.
Oh, it is your love language. I bet you felt right at home, and it probably gave you the fuel to power through.
Yeah.
The hot talk.
Thank you so much for just to set this up for everyone. Chris Worley, VP of Marketing at Octane, is the interviewee. He's a moderator. And then if you can imagine Nate and I in a room in Austin with a set of wings in front of us and four questions. So Nate says he finally got the ability to taste again because we use the actual sauces that were in the Hot Ones episode, just so you know.
Wow. You guys are brave. I'm really excited to see this, though.
We're excited. And so let's get it going.
All right. Welcome to the next Innovation Delivered session, Skiver Watson Shipping Smackdown. We're live here in Austin, Texas at ShipStation headquarters. I'm Chris Worley, VP Product Marketing here at Octane, and I'm going to be your host for this spicy wing eating challenge. We're really glad that you're here. We're really glad that you came to join us. We want you to participate today. So use that chat on your right side. There's chat, there's reactions, drop your questions in. We're going to pull questions out today from today's panel, but also drop in your responses to some of these questions as well. We'd love to engage and interact with you. And, this session's also recorded. So we are going to have this session available live as an on-demand replay. So take that URL out of the top of the screen and share it if you like the content that you've seen today. Well, I am excited to introduce to you our panelists. Super exciting. We are really, really lucky to have you guys come join us here in person. If you all are not following these two gentlemen on LinkedIn, it's 2025. What are you doing? If you're in shipping, logistics, e-commerce, they have all the freshest and spiciest takes every week. We're going to drop their LinkedIn URLs into the chat now as well, so you can give them a follow. But let's get to it. Like, let's kick it over to you for some introductions. Tell us about yourselves. Who are you? What do you do? And what's your wing style? Are you a drums or a flats kind of guy? And we'll start with you, Nate.
Thank you, Chris. I'll just get the wings out of the way. Drums. meaty drums that'll work.
Yeah.
But my name is Nate Skyver. I am founder of LPF Spend Management, which is a parcel consultancy. Work with clients to help them ship smarter, cut shipping costs. A lot of that work is through projects to help select the right delivery partners and develop shipping strategies. And you know, before that, it's been about 6 years that I've been consulting. I was in retail for 17 years. So developed parcel programs for Abercrombie & Fitch and Gap Inc. But since then, I've been consulting and absolutely love it. And somehow that has landed me here.
Right. What bad series of mistakes have you made?
Yes, exactly. I'm excited, but
questioning your life choices.
A little scared, so we'll see.
Yes.
It's great. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, my name is Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting. We work with mid-market and enterprise brands on growth strategy for all their digital channels. Kind of started that a little over 6 years ago on the back of a 20-year career in e-commerce, software companies, as well as retailers, really just kind of growing businesses. So it's been fun to watch the industry grow up and have a number of podcasts and newsletters that hopefully you guys are able to enjoy too. So
That's great. Well, let's see if we can get you guys sweating like a thermal printer on Cyber Monday. That's kind of our goal here a little bit. And here's how today's session is going to go.
First shipping humor.
Great.
I'm good for it. There's like six more. So for today's session, we've got four wings of increasing spiciness level. This one is a 2 out of 10 on the hot wing scale. This one is a 5 out of 10 on the hot wing scale, or hot one scale. Da Bomb is just kind of aggressive marketing with the hot sauce, but in the show, I think they do that one 9 out of 10, and then the last one is an 11 out of 10. So we're going to ask questions that increase in spiciness as that kind of go along with the wing. So let's do the first one. Rick, we're going to kick it to you first.
All right. You get to eat first.
What's one shipping myth that needs to die?
A shipping myth that needs to die. I think, look, if you start a business, you start with the big three in the United States. This is before sort of Amazon entered the world, which is the post office, UPS, FedEx. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest shipping myth that needs to die, especially if you're a small business that grows into a mid-size business where carrier costs start to really add up and become a big percentage of your profits, is that there are not any choices outside of the big three.
Yeah. So I don't know, near and dear to my heart, this is kind of what I do, and somehow this has been a
myth. Did you start it?
Oh, I did.
All right, I got to start.
For like 20 plus years, this has been the myth. It's deeply rooted with a lot of package shippers going back to early 2000s with just UPS or FedEx, maybe the Postal Service. But I think the last, 3, 4, 5 years, it's been dying a slow death. It's been moving, sort of aging a little bit more that direction. And a lot of it has to do with the way that the market has changed. So there's really an infinite almost amount of carriers, maybe too many, but there's plenty of options.
Some of them go out of business?
They do. So there's a lot of carrier options. There's a lot of shipping technology advancements to be able to manage.
Wait, this is like
it's not bad.
Zero.
No, it's a little tingly,
right?
So it's
it's already something starting here.
There is, which is not good.
It's not a good sign.
I didn't even tell you guys this, like a honey barbecue guy, like it's right. It's like non-spice, so this is going to be bad. But I think it's been dying a slow death. Hopefully, sounds kind of morbid, but I hope like the final nail in the coffin is coming, because there's no reason for it not to. There are far too many solution providers available. There just aren't excuses anymore for this kind of to perpetuate. So
rate shopping, zone skipping, and there are a lot of regional carriers that are ready to take on more volume.
Absolutely.
We host an annual benchmark report, and a question, a very, very similar question came up, and 53% of retailers plan to increase use of alternate carriers over the next year. So that dropped in February. What do you think about that? Are you kind of surprised by the percentage that it's not higher or lower?
I'm not surprised by companies saying they're going to. At least a lot of the work that I do is that, you know, I advise companies on, you know, what carriers to partner with for whatever reason they've said is important, right? Cost, speed. A lot of them still gravitate back toward or stay with a UPS or a FedEx because it's easier. It's easier, right? Not to change. And
have one person to talk to.
Exactly.
In theory, anyway.
They being UPS and FedEx, do things well enough. But
right.
I think at least what I've seen, so the 53% makes sense. I've actually seen in the last year or two more companies take action on that, not just say it. And that's the big...
I think the software has gotten a lot better.
Yes, absolutely.
And so the software, it's not just the software, but it's sort of like the pre-integrations there that makes the rate shopping...
Yes.
Not so manual.
You have access to all these carriers. And I think a lot more retailers are not just saying they're going to make changes. We're exploring carriers and then kind of saying, ah, you know what, that's not worth the effort. More are making changes. And I think that's why you've actually seen, you know, Rick said some of these carriers might go out of business. True.
Some have.
But there's still a really large contingent that have been around for 5+ years. And I think... The nail in the coffin is coming.
So. On track is high, you know, acquired some businesses. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The trend of multi-carrier shipping is certainly not going away. And being able to offer multiple carriers is pretty crucial because it can reduce dependencies on single carriers, provide new experiences. Really, really appreciate that. I would say you guys cleared that first question pretty easily.
All right.
So we will have to turn up the heat. But before we do, Rick, Nate said he's a honey barbecue guy. What's your spice threshold? Are you like a Tabasco kind of guy or?
It's not a bad guess. I grew up in New Orleans, but to be honest, I go between mild and honey barbecue. So this is like both of them together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like a mild garlic or something.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
So
it's good. I do love those like Korean crunchy wings. Those are really good, and those can get pretty spicy. I don't know where they fall on this scale.
I'm gonna have to Google it, and we'll have to get back.
Yes.
We'll put that in the email recap here. All right, well, let's move on to the next question. Our medium heat. So we can go ahead and jump into the wings here. We'll go first. I think Rick's got to eat the wing first.
Rick? I thought
no, other way around. Yeah,
I started at least.
Look at this.
It doesn't matter. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, you don't care. Right. I'm sure.
We'll see.
All right. The next question is fast shipping still a competitive advantage, or is it just table stakes?
I think fast shipping is still a competitive advantage, but it should be table stakes. It's something that we've, I don't know, been having a conversation about for 20 years with Amazon Prime, and somehow there's been a lot of, I think, evolution of many retailers delivering faster, but there's still a lot of retailers who aren't maybe delivering as fast as they could. And so, Rick, you may have said you have a prop at some point. So I've got just, this is not an exciting prop. It's just for me to, because I couldn't recall everything. So I do this every once in a while. I will go and see what shipping options a retailer offers, right? So you just go grab an item, make sure it has inventory, all that fun stuff, put it in the cart and go see how fast standard delivery is. So this is what I found for companies delivering, I'm in Austin, to the hotel actually earlier this morning, Gap, August 14th. Dick's Sporting Goods, August 8th.
August 14th.
Oh, it's
August. It's August 7th. Just in case anybody's watching this on demand.
So 1 week. JCPenney, the 12th. Macy's, the 11th. Aeropostale, the 18th for economy, or the 14th for standard. Lids, the 12th. Kendra Scott, between the 11th and the 13th, just in case, you know.
Right.
And H&M between the 13th and 15th. So the reason it's still a competitive advantage is a lot of those retailers deliver faster than that.
Yeah.
But they don't show it. They don't show it on the product display page. They don't show it in checkout.
Yeah, and I think part of what you're talking about, by the way, you're going to like this one.
Oh, so I guess I
get eating. Okay.
I do have a follow-up question, but we'll get there.
Can't stall and not eat. But I think what we're talking about eventually is like, there are two, I think, important components here, and actually Amazon has identified this, of course, throughout their history. One is just fast shipping, and second is estimated delivery date. Mm-hmm. And Amazon found, actually, that if you deliver something sooner than you promised it, that customer still gets upset because they want to be home to receive it, whatever it is. And so having a promise date is something that still so many brands don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say is just as important almost as fast shipping. I mean, Amazon has found that really every time they increase speed, purchase frequency increases. And the reason is because now customers are considering you rather than going to the convenience store for a toothbrush. If you can be lazy like me, or
I do the same thing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, I've got a Walmart.
Right.
I wasn't gonna
speak
for
you. Within a mile
of
my house.
Right. If you can have something delivered in 3 hours and you're doing something anyway, and something can show up at your house, then why not?
Yes.
And so that is an example of how they can get more baskets from you just by increasing speed.
Right. And I don't think we don't need more evidence than what Walmart and Amazon
yeah.
are, what, half the e-commerce market in the U.S. Doesn't mean you, a retailer, has to deliver as fast as either of those
yeah.
or their entire catalog.
Walmart's
even.
3 hour delivery
right.
is, like, I think, like, super interesting, because they were saying on some weeks, as many as 40% of their customers are paying for 3 hour delivery,
that's
which
true.
Is also a huge source of margin.
Yep, exactly.
Nate, you've worked at a big brand before.
Mm-hmm.
What does it take to make that switch, and what are some of the operational implications?
I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. Part of it, well, in my opinion, the easy part is the transportation part. Like, you. Mm. Determine what the speed goals are, you know, speed to customer are, you resource that well. Even the shipping technology at this point, there's a lot of different options, but there are some now that are more advanced to be able to more accurately predict transit times than just FedEx saying it's
all right.
Two business days from this point to this point. So that's gotten a lot better, and I think that's where you have to look as well. And then, none of that matters unless you surface it at least in checkout,
right.
usually in the product display page. When I was going
Correct.
Through earlier, I think Dick's was the only one that had it on the item page. That was it. So that, to me, is just a huge missed opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's where I get it. It's complex. So,
and a lot of the platforms don't do it out of the box.
Right.
And so if you sign up to any platform that's on your list, by default, your e-com platform is not going to show.
Right. So it's not that it's easy, requires effort, but you're not going to see the results of the return unless you actually invest time and some dollars into it.
We had a comment, hashtag eliminate business day transits.
I wish that would happen. It should. And that's actually something that, so Amazon obviously started that, ingrained that
yeah,
with everybody.
Saturday.
Right? But a lot of this is the other whole reason why some retailers can't or won't do it, is they don't know what carrier and what carrier service they're shipping with when someone's browsing.
Right.
And
till later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we've got FedEx that delivers partially 7 days a week.
Yeah.
UPS 6 days a week. Alternative carriers, some 6 or 7 days a week. But it's kind of a mishmash of carriers, and they don't know. And so they just kind of don't figure it out.
Well, we're halfway through, and Ooh. Nobody has cried yet. Well. Not a single tear has been shed. Just a quick observation, though. It is interesting. Nate's style is more of nibbling it like he's reviewing an invoice.
Yeah.
And it's Rick goes all in.
I
took a couple really swipes at the second one and it just wasn't coming off.
Yeah.
That's my story.
Well, it's now time to escalate to
The second half
bomb.
Is really, we were doing some research before the show. It's
a little concerning.
It's concerning.
It is.
Has anyone seen Conan?
On the hot ones? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
not going
to
get.
It's not going to get to that level at all.
Also, if you've seen
there might
be tears. Yeah. If you've seen the movie Over the Top, 1987, Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
There we go.
There we go.
Great.
It's time.
Ready for
here we go.
I'm sorry.
Let's get serious. All right, we're gonna head to our third wing.
That's
and our third question.
There we go.
That's me.
All right.
Is free shipping still worth it for DTC brands, or is the ROI cooked?
We'll go.
Oh, he went for it.
One heck
really, really went for it.
Yeah. Two.
Oh wow.
Two big ones.
Well, I couldn't after you called me out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I should give you that.
No.
Is free shipping still worth it? Look, there's one thing about people, and free is still the most powerful word in the English language, Chris. And so I think people love free. Any kind of promo you test, percent off, dollar off. Dollar off is always better. Then you get into like BOGOs and stacking and all these things that people test. Free shipping is still always at the top of the conversion rate percentage list in any kind of survey that I've ever read. So much so that especially during COVID, you saw, and this is why the de minimis thing became so huge, is because people were willing to wait 7 days, 10 days, 15, 30 days to get free cheap stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's tingling.
No more. Yeah, RIP to Minimus.
Pour out too bad.
No,
I don't know. And I thought I got a pretty, good chunk.
You
there.
Did good. It you
started,
did really good.
I think it's starting to. It's like a delayed
did
onset.
Right
yeah.
Thing. Are you sure you picked the right one?
I did.
You'll all feel right. It in that on that flight in about an hour.
A little bit. But I think as far as the ROI, whether or not that's still valid, part of that is, well, a couple things. One. Like Rick said, like this is so ingrained into, here it comes, so ingrained into the psychology of like the purchasing psychology that you can't not offer free shipping. Like I just don't, for most brands, I mean, there's some exceptions.
At least a threshold.
Right. Where that might be an exception, but so I don't think that's even the consideration. The ROI though, part of it is the expense. There's been a lot of, I think the journal, Wall Street Journal, put something out about like the death of free shipping and the fact that, you know, expense has gone up so much, different areas, all true.
Yeah.
Manage your expense. Like that's one of the things that, of course, with shipping, that's where I just gravitate toward, but you know, whatever, but you just obsessively manage the expense, the ROI improves a little bit. And so I think that's where one area that is an opportunity for a lot of retailers to just really, really tighten down on that expense and make it a continuous process.
Yeah. Free shipping isn't free.
Milk.
Yeah.
Milk.
Yeah. Takes some. Free shipping isn't free. I noticed you've used more napkins than me. I've noticed already.
Have I?
Two. Free shipping isn't free.
Right.
For the retail. And so the money's got to come from somewhere. And we were talking before, it's like too few people view shipping as part of the overall customer experience and like how to
absolutely
deliver a better customer experience for people. And so free shipping is part of that, which is like the surprise and delight. Like I know I'm going to get there and I'm going to have a great experience. Or I feel like if I bought the thing that got me over $100, then I'm like,
yep,
I won something, even though I didn't win anything.
Yeah, I feel like
I bought more stuff.
Free, yeah, exactly. Right? Like the psychology part of it. I feel like free shipping altogether, just how that's managed and how that is made or not a part of the customer experience, how it's prioritized, you know, within an organization. If it was part of marketing, like if it was in the marketing budget, it would be way different because you actually would get a lot of attention, resources to it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be kind of like the last thing on the list. So I think that's where, again, getting the ROI out of it actually has to do with making shipping a priority within that. And part of that is investing into it.
There is a trend of that more broadly, where CXO and marketing really come together, and that experience, and this is yet another area. In our benchmark report, 41% of consumers this year said that delivery cost is more important than speed, and that was up 8% year over year. So to your earlier point, consumers care about it. It's definitely crucial, and the context of everything that's going on only puts pressure on it for brands on both sides.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, it's time. It's time to move up to the last and final wing. Turn it all the way up. How are we feeling?
So, not too bad.
We're tingling strong.
A little bit.
Strong tingle.
Like whole mouth area. Just a little, good. You know, kind of like runny nose a little bit, but it's okay.
Good.
So,
all right.
I think we have to both hit this at the same time.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not doing this with you.
There'll be a silent.
Let's go. Go ahead. Let's.
If you're on webinar, we're not going to be talking anymore.
Let's take a bite.
Yeah.
Let's take. Go ahead and take a bite.
I mean, it's your turn. If you want to go first, go ahead.
Oh, it's my turn.
It is.
Oh yeah, very. Go for very it. Very subtle of you, Nate.
Here we go.
Doesn't matter to me.
You guys gonna cheers? Wait. There we go. All right, let's see if the tears form a little bit. I think the runny nose is a good precursor to some tears coming. How are we feeling about it?
Yeah.
You feel it?
Did you miss it?
No.
Oh!
No, please. Perfect. I mean, I had to have then, right? I mean, it's coming, but.
All right. Here's
the honey barbecue.
I'll go ahead and. Oh, okay.
Oh, he's got it. He's got it now. Well, he's taking that additional bite, okay. And Rick's just getting some sure getting some milk. The last question. Finish the sentence. If brands want to win in 20... If brands want to win in 20...
Hold on, we need a moment.
Oh, there's a little bit of tears. Yeah. I see it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's coming.
Get ahead of that milk. There we go. All right, here's the question. Finish the sentence. If brands want to win in 2025, they need to blank.
Not do this.
Exactly what I was going to say.
If brands want to win in 2025, they really need to stand for something. To me, that's number one, because there's so many brands out there that can't answer a very simple question. For this important group of consumer, what important problem do you solve? And it seems like a simple question, but it's actually very complicated for a lot of people to answer.
I know. Like, I wouldn't look at...
I'm not just crying because I just love shipping.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I'm crying. It's emotional.
It is. It's a deep burn. All right.
Be careful around the eyes.
I know. Worn. It makes it worse if you talk. I kind of started on this on the last question. And maybe this is a little too cliche for what I do. Well, this is bad. But it really is. I don't know if that's going to work. To prioritize delivery. So prioritize it within not just the customer experience, but investing not just funds, you know, not like an actual capital investment or anything like that, but people, resources to make it a central part of your e-commerce strategy, period.
Yeah.
And it requires, you know, intentional effort. Requires an actual strategy, not just kind of letting things go generically, like I don't want to call any brand out that I listed earlier.
2 to 5 days,
three
business
days, 8-9 days from now. Like, there's no reason that should happen. It just shouldn't happen anymore. And I don't think there is an excuse for it.
Yeah.
If delivery matters. So
I'm gonna help you out here, Nate.
Thank you. So by, I think, having the lack of specificity with the shipping options, the experience. That just means, I think, I'm gonna say those brands, brands in general who have that, don't prioritize delivery. So that's what I would say. I mean, granted, I'm a little bit biased on the shipping and delivery aspect, though.
I think it's well said, because I think if you don't prioritize that experience, it's not going to happen on its own. I don't know how you spoke for that long.
Me neither.
While you're...
Yeah, that was... Milk does help, though.
Yeah,
it does.
It's helped. It's
doesn't
helped.
Help with the science.
Can't speak through the milk. We can...
It's true. Yeah.
Like, bubble it.
But it comes back.
Froth it up a bit.
It's get a little frothy. It is unrelenting.
Yeah.
Yep.
What were we talking about?
Well, actually, it's a great segue, because we gotta wrap it up. It's about time to close out here, and so
that's true. Until the last one was pretty bad.
We want to thank you all for coming out, traveling all this way to enjoy some wings with us.
Yeah,
enjoy the wings.
Enjoy. Sure. Yeah,
and have a really great session. We've got some ship station hats for you to wear for next here. Here we go. But thank you both so much. We appreciate the time and the insights and the energy.
All right.
We have a couple of quick obligatory commercials. The first is we have a really great demo lounge that we put together today. So come check out some of the demos. There's some exclusive offers inside of the demo lounge. One that I'd love to point out that we've got the link here on screen is our UX website demo. It actually talks about how you can use ShipStation API to help deliver better branded customer experiences that are completely white labeled. But a lot of other ways to address things like multi-carrier shipping and free shipping and prioritizing speed, all things we can help you with and all things you can check out in the demo lounge. So make sure to get over there. And don't go too far, because in just 2 minutes, we are closing out with our keynote, Christina Tosi, founder of Milk Bar. Thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye.